actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
The stuff about me paddleboarding, nonsense. The sea was actually closed. It was a red notice.
You just can't call it.
We will not be caught with no clothes on.
I've always been a completely normal UK taxpayer.
Russia should go away and should shut up.
That's a dodgy view.
And if you've been to Peppa Pig World, who's been to Pads? I've anyone who's been to Peppa Pig World.
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets.
I mean, seriously, besties. What the actual fuck?
Hiya, besties. It's me, Jennifer Wan. This is What the Actual Fuck is Going On with This Whole Politics Business. I got all the gossip for you this week. I got all the tea. We're going to dive straight into it. So grab a drink, grab a snack, get comfy and cozy, and let's go.
Oh, God. It's happening. So Matt Hancock has officially gone into the jungle. I'm going to basically recap what's been going on. I haven't actually watched it, so this recap may be slightly incorrect on the details. I'm basically just going on what I found through people live tweeting and the I'm a Celeb Reddit forum. So I mean, maybe it's wrong, but you know what? Maybe my incorrect retelling of events will be more entertaining than what you'll actually see on the television. I don't know. Anyway, so Matt Hancock arrived on the scene. From what I could tell, his first introduction to viewers, there was, I did see this because it was posted on social media. There was this video, and I have to tell you, it fucking triggered my fucking fight or flight. I felt attacked when I saw it. I felt like he was going to fucking come through the screen at me like Samara, like fucking Sadako. I was like, uh-uh, bitch. No. It was terrifying. So he's fucking smiling. He fucking throws a jacket over his shoulder. He smiles into the camera in the most sinister way you've ever seen. He's out here like fucking Mr. Boogie, I swear to God. I did not like that. I don't think that anybody would, frankly, but it was what we were faced with. So he does his little fucking, oh, look, I'm Matt. Hi. You know, it's very that. So then he has his first sort of real interaction with any of the other people on the show. He's thrown into the jungle and he walks down and he meets Sean Walsh, who is also somebody that has gone on this show to rehabilitate their image after a horrific scandal. So Sean Walsh was exposed a few years back for coercive control of one of his ex-girlfriends. She spoke out about his abuse of her, and it was absolutely horrific. And I hope that people will remember that instead of him eating animal genitals or whatever he gets up to in the jungle. A lot of people trying to fucking save their reputations on this season. But there are some people that are nice. There is the lady that plays Eileen on Coronation Street, and she seems nice and she doesn't have any scandals. So we stan. Hope you win, girly. There's also, apparently there's one of the ladies from the football. You remember that? The football? When all the girls won? That was a thing. Apparently she's the very pretty one that was caught swearing on camera. And I, you know what? Some people may say that's a scandal, but me, I say that's my dream girl. But anyways, I hope she wins too. I crown them both. Anyways, just kick out all of the scandal ridden boys. Apparently there was a lady who had to go home. I don't know who she is, but that's sad for her. There's a guy from Hollyoaks, but he seems like unproblematic. He might not be, I don't know. I don't really, Like, I know what Hollyoaks is, but I'm not engaged, so I don't really know what's going on with that. And then there's some other guy. I don't really know what he does. So, and then there's Boy George, who also has his own scandals that everyone is pretending didn't happen, because apparently it's completely fine to imprison and abuse people. That's fine now. It's all fine. Drag Race UK also had him on, which is really fucking disappointing, to be honest. So yeah, reality TV seems to be the place to go if you've got terrible fucking skeletons in your closet, it would seem. So Matt Hancock, he goes down into the jungle and he meets Sean Walsh, and then Sean Walsh literally laughs in his face and is like, ah, what the fuck? Because I don't think he was expecting to see Matt Hancock. And I understand that reaction, to be honest, because I feel like I would react the same if it were me. I mean, I would not be on that show because I would be terrified of all of the things that would happen to me if I were there. So I would never. Like, that would never happen to me. But, like, I don't know. Just say I was in any other scenario and Matt Hancock walked in, I would literally just be... I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know how to react. I'd be like, bitch, what the fuck? And just kind of laughing. So I get it. I get it. So they had to do this thing where they had to go through a tunnel or something. And they had like all this wet stuff on them or whatever. I would imagine, you know, sort of falling into the depths of darkness and being covered in like wet goop is probably what it was like for Matt Hancock's mistress to have to kiss him. So that's interesting to note. When they get to the main camp where all the other people are, it becomes obvious very fucking quickly that none of them like Matt Hancock at all. Also, sorry, I forgot Mike Tyndall, he's married to someone in the royal family. I don't know what he did before then because I don't care. But yeah, that's him. That's what he does. I mean, that's not really doing a thing though, is it? But whatever. So he apparently had a real dislike for Matt Hancock and made it very fucking obvious. When discussing Matt Hancock, he actually said, "All I heard was bullshit, bullshit, bullshit." Same, buddy. Boy George apparently also was very upset upon seeing Matt Hancock. Aren't we all? He was deeply upset because of the fact that he was not able to see his mother when she was in hospital during the COVID lockdowns. And he finds it upsetting to have to be around Matt Hancock. Understandable. Many people have pointed out that Matt Hancock should have waited until an inquiry was over or just until people had had some time to recover emotionally from what they've been through to do this. But Matt Hancock's desperation for attention could not let him wait that long. I'm so sorry, guys. So Domino's Pizza tweeted, "Yeah, they're gonna cook and eat him. Hashtag I'm a celeb." Maybe they will. Who knows? It'll be a surprise. So on the first night that Matt Hancock was there, they didn't make him do anything too gross. But I think the decision was made. And again, please remember, I'm recapping this without having watched it or even really read a summary because I just don't care. I'm just going off of what I've been able to find on comments. So maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. But the decision was taken that Matt Hancock was going to have to do a lot of fucked up shit at the earliest opportunity because bitches hate him. Great. Amazing. However, the other people in the camp just really did not seem to vibe with Matt Hancock. And many of them seemed uncomfortable having to be around him and having to be part of a season of television where he is there. And I understand that in a sense. I mean, I remember, because I don't generally watch a lot of reality TV, but I remember watching a video, it was ages ago, where someone was talking about, you know, reality TV, and they said about how for a lot of people that go on these shows, on the celebrity versions of these shows, they're either trying to reintroduce themselves to an audience or they're trying to branch out and do something different, right? And so for a lot of celebrities, it's quite a vulnerable place for them in terms of their career, because they've got to get it right, because this is their big chance back in front of an audience and they don't want to screw it up, right? So imagine you are any of the other people that have signed up for this series of this show, and you get told after you've signed up, after you've taken the check, after you, there's really no point of return, except for that one girl who left, but she had medical reasons, so that's fair. You get told, oh, by the way, we are going to chuck a very unpopular guy in with you. And you're like, oh, okay, who's that? And then they're like, oh, the disgraced former health secretary, Matt Hancock. Yeah, he's going to be on with you guys. Hope that's okay. I would not be okay with that. And I would imagine for these other people on the show, it's uncomfortable for a number of reasons. Firstly, for some of them, it is going to be literally the memories of COVID, people that they lost, the experiences that they had that were very negative. They're not going to feel good about being around a guy who made a lot of those things worse. And secondly, if you are trying to boost your career or rehab your career or whatever it is you're trying to do, having one of the most hated guys just on this island in that jungle with you is probably not going to help, because for some people, it's going to mean they don't watch at all because they don't want to see him, which lowers your chances of having that boost to your career. For some, they're not going to pay attention to you and what you're trying to do because they're too busy focusing on how much they hate him. So it's a lose-lose situation for a lot of the other people on this show. I mean, for some of the ones that have come because they've got scandals to hide themselves, I reckon it's probably quite good because, you know, they're obviously going to be the least scandalous person there in comparison to him. So they're probably quite happy with it. But the ones who haven't got a scandal and they've just showed up to try and boost themselves, they are going to be pissed, I guarantee it. And I understand that. That's fair. So a lot of fans of the show noticed that the vibe was off. It was uncomfortable. The other people on the show seemed to know that it was wrong for him to be there. They felt uncomfortable. The audience felt uncomfortable. It was awkward. They didn't know what was going to happen, what they were going to do. So that's great, isn't it? That's fantastic. So the Northern Ireland Secretary, Chris Heaton-Harris, said in regards to Matt Hancock in the jungle, I know the format of the show, and I do believe there's quite a lot of people in the building not too far away from here, the House of Commons and the House of Lords, who've downloaded a certain app so they can vote. Ha 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 ha, it's so funny. We get to torture the silly man. Ha 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 ha. Honestly, like, this man should be up in front of a fucking inquiry about the things he's done. And this man in government is just laughing. Ha ha, you can make him eat camel penis. Ha ha, so funny. However, Peter Kyle, the shadow Northern Ireland secretary, had something quite different to say. And I kind of had to stand. He said, for those of us who have neurological challenges and we overcome them, I think we all acknowledge that it gives us something positive in life, because what you learn by overcoming challenges, okay, is a pathway to success. Very often, what Matt Hancock has done is once again just associated dyslexia with failure. And I hate that. Me too. He said, I hate that, you know? I just wish that we could get back to the point that we're talking about, the positive attributes to some of the barriers that people have in life. Matt Hancock just seems to always be dragging all of the good things in life down into the gutter. True, bestie. Absolutely true. Like I said, you know, when this whole fucking kerfuffle was announced, there are already fantastic role models for kids with dyslexia. And there are celebrities out there doing everything they can to advocate for those kids in a way that Matt Hancock has never fucking bothered to do before now. That's the thing. Matt Hancock, and you can go back through, show me where he has actually advocated for or done anything positive for kids with dyslexia before he decided he wanted to be a celebrity and he needed some kind of reason for doing all of this, right? When did he actually lobby for these kids? When did he actually stand up for them? When did he do any of that? Literally never. Never. There are people with dyslexia who are doing that. There are people that are celebrities. There are people that aren't even celebrities. People that just say, you know what? I want to help people to understand dyslexia and to understand what I'm going through. And so I'm just going to reach out to people and I'm going to do that. And they didn't need to be given hundreds of thousands of pounds to give a shit about standing up for people with dyslexia. They just did it off their own back. I don't buy for a second that Matt Hancock is suddenly really, really passionate about standing up for the rights and the needs of people with dyslexia, because the evidence just doesn't support it. Where was all of this years ago? Where was it? It wasn't there. It wasn't fucking there. He just needs a reason to be on television and he thinks that will do. And I think what Peter Kyle has said here is very fair. You know, Matt Hancock is dragging people down and it's gross and we hate it. So let's have a look at some of the comments on the I'm a Celebrity Reddit in relation to Matt Hancock. Didn't need to hear Matt slurping, I'll be honest. Same babe, same. This is genuinely hard to watch. I can't look at those two alone. I don't like it. Goal. I hope somebody or even several of the campmates are somehow able to drive home to somebody as sick and delusioned to reality as Matt of just how his actions led to consequences that affected thousands. I highly doubt it though. The day Matt Hancock feels a single emotion will be the day pigs sprout wings and fly. Yes, queen. I hadn't really considered how hard this would be for the other celebs. I hope some of them would give them a piece of what we are all feeling, but it didn't occur to me that it could bring up horrible things from the pandemic. I feel bad for them. Oh my God. That's really sad. So then they talk about somebody else who's on the show. Chris has spoken on his show before about how he lost a friend. I think that was the relation during the pandemic and he couldn't go to their funeral. And then when the stuff leaked about them partying, he was so upset by it all and even said how that was nothing compared to the public. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know. There are a number of public figures and celebrities that will have had the effects of the pandemic too, and things like Partygate will have affected them too, because I mean, sure, not everything in the pandemic was felt, you know, equally. You know, let's not get carried away and, you know, go into, you know, the infamous Imagine video territory. You fucking remember that? Oh my God. But you know, you do have to say, you know, for example, people who wanted to visit relatives and couldn't, that applied across the board. It didn't matter if you were a celebrity. People that wanted to go to people's funerals, It didn't matter if you were a celebrity. If there were too many there already, that was just how it was. And people who've been through this, suddenly being ambushed with Matt Hancock, it's probably not good. Probably not fucking good. So let's see what else has been said. We need to send this dickhead to as many trials as possible and boot him out as soon as we get the chance. I'm sorry, but anyone voting for Matt to stay, you are super sad. Okay, yeah, fair. Oh my God. But you know who decided to make the whole thing about herself in the most delusional way you've ever seen? It's Sophie Cochran, whoever the fuck, the girl who lied about getting rejected for a job from KFC for attention. She pops up on like GB News and shit sometimes. Anyway, she tweeted this and I had to fucking laugh. She said, I fear Hancock going in the jungle is going to open up a wave and acceptance of abuse and intolerance towards conservatives. ITV should have thought about that, as seeing the other camp members openly trash Matt live on TV is putting young conservatives like myself at risk. God, nobody's going to attack you. Like, stop the fucking forced victimhood. No one's going to attack you because they think Matt Hancock's a cunt. Like, come on. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, sweetheart. Nobody's fucking checking for you. Like, the fact is, if you walk down the street, most people wouldn't fucking recognize you. Like, they wouldn't know you. Because most people are not watching shit like GB News. Most people are not going to know who the fuck you are in public. So nobody's going to attack you, all right? I hope that makes you feel better. So Matt is still currently in the jungle, I believe. I mean, that's nice for him. I'm sure that the people are really happy about that. Apparently, oh my God, they still have episodes over the weekend. What? Okay. Right. So there's some threads here about Matt Hancock. People don't like him at all. They don't fucking like him at all. So Matt Hancock, he was asked during one of the episodes, and I have seen this because there was a clip that came up on my Instagram. And he was asked about, you know, him breaking the rules, and he tried to come at it with like loopholes and shit. He was like, oh no, I didn't break the law. I broke the guidelines. And it's like, bitch, that's basically the same thing. Especially as they were your guidelines, bitch. And his excuse was his standard, oh, well, I fell in love. Like, there was one of the ladies on the show, and she was trying to point out to his fucking face. She was like, you were socializing outside of your family, outside of your household. You were fucking getting off with some random woman at work, while the rest of us were all socially distanced, trying to keep away from each other, you know, all of our mental health suffering, people not being able to see their families, people not being able to attend funerals properly, kids not able to be in school, not able to see their friends, everybody's fucking suffering. And you're fucking getting handsy in a store cupboard or some shit. I mean, she didn't say that, but like still. And he gave his usual bullshit excuse. Oh, well, I fell in love. Fuck off. You shouldn't have been close enough to her to fall in love, you fucking smug bastard. Look. He's a grown fucking man. A middle-aged fucking man.
is he really going to come in here with this, oh, but we fell in love. Oh, that doesn't work for me. I don't care. I don't fucking care if you did or if you didn't. You know what, bitch? It's not an excuse. And you know what else it doesn't cover up? All of the shit decisions you fucking made, sending people that were infected into care homes and letting that virus rip through those care homes and kill people. You being in love doesn't excuse that, does it, darling? What about sending carers and nurses and doctors out with absolutely no PPE? Using fucking bin liners as PPE. How about that? Is you being in love cover up for that? No, it doesn't. It's not an excuse. I'm fucking tired of him. And I'm so bored of him. Just as a fucking person. I cannot stand him. Ugh. Gross. Disgusting. There are some people that have said that they're bored of seeing Matt Hancock doing trials on the show. I didn't know that was happening, but apparently he is doing he's doing all of them because everyone's voting for him to have to do them. But apparently people are bored of him doing them, not because they feel any sympathy for him, but because it's obvious and you can see it in how he reacts that he loves the screen time and he loves the attention. And he is really hoping that that it will help people to forget all the things he's done. And I would imagine that is the case. So, you know, I'm once again saying, perhaps don't watch, perhaps don't engage, at least until he gets kicked out. I would imagine maybe they will, you know, maybe people will vote him out when the time comes. I don't really know how the show works, as we know. But I just... every single moment of attention, every single moment of screen time he's getting, in his mind, it's another chance to change your mind. He is absolutely desperate to become a big star, and he is using this show to do that. So maybe, like I said, reconsider. Do you need to help him with that? Do you need to help him with that? As I said, it is time to stop Matt Hancock. And the best way to stop Matt Hancock is to not look. So, despite being a massive failure, Boris Johnson still gets rewarded in many, many ways. Of course, he receives severance pay as former Prime Minister, and also he gets a resignation honours list. He gets to pick a bunch of people to give peerages to, because why the fuck not? And his list has been revealed, including several people that are raising some questions. So first off, Mad Nads. Of course, you knew who it was. You knew who it was going to be. Of course, Nadine Dorris was going to get one. Of course she was. Of course she was. I mean, it's sad cringe and it's kind of uncomfortable, but like, I'm not surprised. Scottish Secretary Alistair Jack. For what? May I ask? Okay. There's also a bit of controversy about that. Because they are effectively deferring his move to the Lords to avoid a by-election, which is a massive manipulation of democracy. I talked about this a few episodes ago. So, a lot of the people that still have seats
they're going to be deferring their little move to the House of Lords so that they don't cost the Tory seats in a by-election. I mean, it's typical Boris, isn't it? More corruption. He's not even Prime Minister anymore and he's still like, fuck it, I need to do some more corrupt shit. Get out of my way, I've got to do something terrible. But somebody who's not doing something terrible, they're actually doing something good. Let's talk about Zayn Malik from One Direction, but also now he's a solo artist and he's doing stuff and things. So Zayn Malik wrote to the Prime Minister this week. And it was a really touching moment, actually. So he has been named as an ambassador for the Food Foundation, and he is joining them to call for an expansion of free school meals to all 800,000 children living in households on universal credit who don't get free school meals. So he wrote to the Prime Minister and he posted the letter on his social media. There are some people who wanted to kind of downplay this and, you know, criticize him a little and be like, oh, well, you're a rich celebrity. I'm not a Zayn stan. I'm not super familiar, but I did do a little research. And one of the things that I found out was that he, and also he covered this in his letter as well, he actually, similar to Marcus Rashford, went through, you know, the stigma of food insecurity growing up as a kid. And he relied on school meals, free school meals, to help him, you know, because there wasn't enough to go around, and he was struggling and his family was struggling. Marcus Rashford has spoken out about his own experiences as well, which is what led to him campaigning during the pandemic. And Marcus Rashford was able to effectively shame some progress out of the government. And I think hopefully Zayn will be able to do the same. I think that this is a great move from him. And, you know, some people, they'll complain about celebrities, you know, not doing anything with their platform. But, you know, here's a guy and he's actually doing it. So shout out to him for that. He's done a lot of, I think a lot of charity work revolving around food insecurity. So, you know, this is a guy who's actually putting his money where his mouth is. So shout out to him. And also, I just love to see celebrities going after British prime ministers. I just love it. Drag them. Read them. It's nice to see some actual celebrities involved in British politics, considering we've had to put up with Matt Hancock pretending to be one for the last week or so. So now we've got an actual celebrity in the house. That's nice. We like that. So I hope that Zayn's campaign will be successful. And I think it's great that he's using his platform to call for a fairer deal for kids across the UK. And he's making use of his 47.3 million followers, which is pretty huge. It's pretty huge. So the post that he put up, it has over 2 million likes, over 15,000 comments. I think that's pretty loud. That's pretty fucking loud. I also noticed that a lot of his fans committed to writing to them MPs on social media. See, this is the thing about celebrity campaigns that some people don't get. Yes, obviously Zayn simply writing a letter to the Prime Minister may not get things done. However, all of Zayn's fans writing to their MPs, that puts some pressure on, because then those MPs, especially at a time when Tories are pretty certain that they may lose the next election, if they suddenly are inundated with letters about food poverty and free school meals, from Zayn's fans, they might start thinking, well, shit, those people might be voting at the next election. I guess maybe I should do something. And so then that springs them into action. It's the same thing that happened last time. As great as Marcus Rashford is, him simply speaking out was not the only thing, but he was smart enough to know that him speaking out would trigger a lot of his fans to then also use their platforms and write to their MPs. That's what Zayn, I would imagine, is hoping to achieve here as well. Love this from him. Love this from him. What do we not love? Okay. So, oh my God. I should start this by saying, I'm very anti-nuclear weapon. And I know that for some people, that's like, some people will see that as very naive of me. And they might think I'm dumb or whatever, but like, okay. That's how I feel. Deal with that. I've seen threads. I don't fuck about with this shit. I don't want it. I'm very anti-nuclear weapon. I feel deeply uncomfortable with the fact that there are nuclear weapons here in the UK. And so you can imagine how even more uncomfortable I felt after reading this week that staff had to be moved after a serious radiation breach at the Trident nuclear base in Scotland. What the fuck do you mean? Bitch, what the fuck do you mean? So a whistleblower came out and spoke out about this. Oh my God. There was a serious radiation breach. People had to be moved because it was dangerous. That shit is fucking terrifying. So Neil Hanvey spoke out about this in the House of Commons, and he asked the government how many such events have been registered in the past 3 years and whether they have been reported to the public. He also accused the government, and rightly so, of ignoring the people of Scotland who had overwhelmingly opposed nuclear weapons, which is true, right? That's true. And then Ben Wallace, oh my God, Defence Secretary, is just like, I'll write to you. Bitch, if someone comes in and they say, so there was a serious radiation breach in my country, can we talk about that? And all you have to say is, oh, we'll write to you. What the fuck? What the actual fuck? What do you mean you'll write to them? What the fuck do you mean? See, this is why I'm against this shit. Because it's fucking dangerous. Like, even if you take away the danger of, like, mutually assured destruction, which you can't really do because it's an important factor, but like, even if you do, even if you ignore that, there is still shit like this. Nuclear weapons are actually incredibly difficult to maintain, and you can have incidents like this, and this shit is dangerous. People could be hurt, seriously hurt. People could die. And the government's just like, oh, we'll write to you in due course. We'll send you a little email or something. No. Uh-uh. What the fuck? What the actual fuck? So I'm gonna talk about this real quick. Although it's one of those things where, oh God, I think it's a demonstration of how some people will say that they're doing something as a joke, and it's like, right, but what was the joke supposed to be? And then they can't actually tell you. It's very that. So Jeremy Corbyn, who is an independent MP right now, I think, last time I checked, former leader of the Labour Party, he was trying to raise a point of order in the House because Rishi Sunak keeps mentioning him during Prime Minister's questions, and Jeremy Corbyn does not like that because he's like, what the fuck, why are you so obsessed with me? Which is a fair point, actually. Like, one of the things that Tory leaders have relied upon for a very long time now is every single time that an opposition party asks them something or says something that makes them uncomfortable, they'll be like, something, Jeremy Corbyn, remember Jeremy Corbyn? Jeremy Corbyn, and they'll start talking about Jeremy Corbyn. And it's like, what the fuck does he have to do with any of this? Jeremy Corbyn has not been the leader of a political party for several years. He's a backbench independent MP. Fucking why are you still talking about him? The reason they keep bringing him up is because they think that it will scare the public and make the public like the Tories or some dumb shit like that. I understand from everyone's perspective why they'd want them to stop doing this. Firstly, because it means they don't ever answer any questions because they just shout Jeremy Corbyn at anybody that asks them anything. And secondly, from Jeremy Corbyn's perspective, I guess I understand why he'd be pretty sick of it too, because it's like, keep my fucking name out your mouth, bitch. Fair enough. Anyway, so Jeremy Corbyn was told that he couldn't make a point of order until after a statement was made. And then Labour MP and the Shadow Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, could be heard on camera talking about Jeremy Corbyn and saying that he'd gone senile, which is pretty gross, actually. You know, regardless of what you think of Jeremy Corbyn, regardless whether you like him or not, it's not really an acceptable thing to say about somebody. So Wes Streeting did respond to the outrage about this on Twitter. He responded to a tweet from journalist / commentator / YouTuber / very online person Owen Jones, who had a clip of what happened and said, this is gross, and tagged Wes Streeting. And he was right, it was gross. And Wes Streeting responded to the tweet and said, in jest, but I accept, in poor taste, I've dropped Jeremy a note directly to apologise for any offence caused. Okay, Wesley, but what was the joke? What was the joke? What was supposed to be funny? In jest how? Like, what was supposed to be funny? What was the joke? Where was the joke? I see. Okay. So yeah, like I said, you know, a bitch will be like, oh, I was just joking. And it's like, right, but about what? Huh? Joking about what? Explain to me why it was supposed to be funny. Explain to me why we were supposed to laugh. Oh, you can't? Okay. All right, honey. All right. Very that. And others have pointed out it's kind of inappropriate for a shadow health secretary to be making comments like this. And yet he did. Am I surprised? Not really. I think sometimes people, they get wrapped up in like a little bubble and they don't think about why something would be gross, why something would be offensive. I'm just saying, like, why is it funny, honey? Tell me the joke, explain it. I don't know that he actually made anything bigger than that in terms of a statement. I don't think he did. I think it was literally just a reply to, I'm on his Twitter right now, and it looks like the only response was like, that one tweet to Owen Jones, which isn't really... Oh, God. Yikes. I feel like, you know, you should be careful with your words, especially if you are a public figure, especially if you are somebody who is a public figure that is directly dealing with health. I feel like you should be smarter, but I guess that's beyond him. That's sad. Anyway, perhaps Wes Streeting should be focusing less on trying to make shit jokes and more on the nursing strike that is coming our way. So it was announced this week, nurses are going on strike. Good for them. Good for them, like, honestly, truly. So there are certain trusts across the NHS that will be going on strike. Not all of them, but some of them will be. And unsurprisingly, the government has just gone straight in trying to shame these nurses again. So Chris Heaton-Harris, Northern Ireland secretary, said that's very difficult to judge. It's a vocation, I suppose. You could say politics is a vocation in many ways. So he was referring to nurses' pay and is it enough? It's not difficult to judge if nurses are having to go to food banks, if nurses are struggling financially, then it's not difficult to judge. It's very obvious. No, they're not being paid enough. There you go, solved it for you. And again, this guilt trip about, oh, it's a vocation, it's a calling. Nurses are angels, nurses are heroes. Right, but they've still got fucking bills to pay, mate. All right, their fucking rent doesn't get paid by the fucking heroic angelic glow around their halos, all right? They've got to have money. And if you're not going to fucking give it to them, fuck off, basically. I've said this over and over again, and I've said it repeatedly because it's fucking true. One of the reasons for the staffing crisis within the health and social care sectors is because the pay offers are not enough for people to stay in the sector. So what you end up with is the people that do stay are doing effectively the jobs of multiple people because they don't have a choice. And that's why you get such high burnout, exhaustion. So it's not just about money anyway. But if nurses are paid more, that's going to attract more people to take up those jobs. That's going to lower the pressure on the existing staff. That's going to solve a lot of the problems in the health and social care sector. I firmly believe that everybody involved in the decision making here knows this, and they're playing dumb because they want to save a few pennies. And they don't want to actually give nurses what they deserve. They don't want to give carers what they deserve. Doctors. They don't want to. So they're pretending like they don't know. But they do. They absolutely do. And speaking of Chris Heaton-Harris. Oh, he's had a week. Oh, he's had a week. Let's talk about Twitter. Let's talk about Twitter. So if you don't know, Elon Musk, who is very rich and very stupid, has purchased Twitter. And one of his big money-making ideas was to make it possible to buy verification on the app. So on Twitter, if you have a little blue tick on your profile, that means you're verified. It means normally that you're a celebrity or you're a public figure or somebody of note, and Twitter has verified you so that someone can't copy you. This was brought in years and years ago because it used to be quite a common scam for celebrities to be impersonated on Twitter, and for people to, a lot of the time, be scammed thinking that they were talking to real celebrities. This was a very common scam that affected young people and older people quite a lot, who may not know, you know, oh, you know, John Cena is not going to be talking to you on MySpace, sweetheart. Like, that's not a thing. So verification was brought in on Twitter, and then, you know, quite a lot of other platforms copied it as well and did the same thing, to give people a bit more reassurance about who they were communicating with, and you know, whether tweets coming from an account were from the real person or the real organization or not. It was a very useful feature. And then Elon Musk basically decided that it was monetizable. And so he was like, what if people could buy a blue tick on Twitter? What if they could? So that became a thing this week. I actually, on one of my accounts, because I have two Twitter accounts, I bought it on one just to see what it would be like and to see what would happen. It's like, you know, it doesn't really do anything for my self-esteem. It doesn't really do anything to fill the void in my soul, but it's quite cool because I can have a pink Twitter icon now when I couldn't before, and I can have like a pink theme on Twitter, which is cool. And apparently my tweets now get priority if I reply to somebody, but I don't generally reply to people very much, so I don't know. Yeah, I probably won't keep it for more than a month. I just wanted to see what it was like, to be honest, but I won't be able to keep it for more than a month anyway, because I'm pretty sure they're doing away with the feature. But we'll get to that in just a moment. I'm going to tell you why. And part of that links into British politics, because of course it does. So Chris Heaton Harris took to Twitter, and he had this to say. Hello, Twitter. Hello, Chris. Someone has sent a fake email to press outlets saying I've resigned. This is totally untrue. I hope one of Elon Musk, and he tweets Elon Musk into the thread, first moves is to eliminate fake news on Twitter. Very exciting, I know, but complete and utter tosh. Right. So then Elon Musk replies and he said, what does a tosh look like? Okay. Right. I mean, firstly, you know, obviously Chris Heaton Harris has got to take whatever has happened up with whoever sent that fucking email. It doesn't seem like a Twitter problem. I mean, I know a lot of things this week have been a Twitter problem, but this is not one of them. Oh, but you know what was a Twitter problem? A fake Nicola Sturgeon Twitter account. So one of the reasons that they've got rid of Twitter Blue, which was the way you could pay to get verified, is because a number of people would start accounts, and they would change the name on them to emulate a real account that was verified, a brand or a public figure or a celebrity, and then they would buy a verification tick and do some trolling. And somebody decided to do this with a Nicola Sturgeon account. So they did a lot of havoc, a lot of crazy shit. So they replied to a tweet from Stephen Kerr, who's a Tory MSP, and just said, you're a potato. Wise words. Now, this account looked almost indistinguishable from Nicola Sturgeon's real account, because it had the same profile picture, it had the same name, it looked very similar, and because Elon allowed people to buy blue ticks, it had a blue tick. So you're a potato. She also replied to a tweet from the Isle of Man chief minister, this fake account, pretending to be Nicola Sturgeon, replied with, Rishi Sunak is a, and there's a word for, you know, little people that I believe is a slur now, so I'm not going to say it. Pass it on. But you know what? The fake Nicola Sturgeon was not the weirdest blue tick account around, okay? Because, yes, fake Nicola Sturgeon was tweeting such things as, tweeting this to Douglas Ross, young people hate you, Doug. Your party is done. As soon as the pensioners that prop you up are gone. And another reply to Douglas Ross, they invited you because you smell of fish. I don't know that that's true. I don't know. But you know what? Fake Nicola Sturgeon was not the weirdest person with a verified account on Scottish Twitter. No. You know who was, though? Murdo Fraser, Tory MSP, never actually won an election, always gets in on the list. He tweeted something, and when I saw this tweet, I thought to myself, oh my God, has someone done like a really creepy Murdo Fraser parody account and paid to have it verified? But no, it was his actual Twitter account. It was his actual fucking Twitter. So he posted a picture of Nicola Sturgeon and Rishi Sunak. They met this week. There was a picture of them shaking hands. It's a nice picture. They, you know, it's fine. And he posted that picture with the caption, "Are you looking for love? Just look what happened when Rishi from Yorkshire and Nicola from Ayrshire signed up to lonelyhearts.com. Bitch, what in the Tumblr is this? I don't understand why he would say this. Like, I actually don't. I don't understand, like, what this is. I don't know. I just don't know. Like, this shit is gross. Girl. Put it in jail. Put it in jail. What the fuck? Oh my God, the tweet is actually still there. And he won't take it down. And everyone keeps pointing out in the replies and the quote tweets that it's really inappropriate and really gross. And he's just like, I don't care. I've never won an election. I have no problems. It's whatever. Like, what the fuck is that? What the actual fuck? Gross. So you may remember last week we were talking about Gavin Williamson being a gross bully. And whether Rishi Sunak was aware of that when he appointed him to a government position. Well, it got worse because of course it did. Of course it did. So a senior civil servant claimed that Gavin Williamson told them to slit their throat. What is wrong with this man? What is actually wrong with him? Apparently, Gavin Williamson also, on a separate occasion, told somebody to jump out of the window. What the fuck is this? This fucking insane, fucking vile bully energy. Like, what is this? Obviously, you know, to my mind, like, this man has serious issues. It is not normal to go around saying these kinds of things to people. It is not normal. It is just not. To me, it's a sign of serious dysfunction in you as a person if you can speak to another person like this. on even just one occasion, let alone multiple occasions. And this was apparently not a secret either. But still, Rishi Sunak's like, it's fine. Let's just let this guy into government. Why not? Why not? I mean, Gavin Williamson denies this, but I mean, I'm sorry, but why would all of these people come forward if there was no truth in it? Why would they? Why had there been complaints made on the record about his behaviour? I don't fucking buy it. So he was also reported to have said in regards to a member of parliament who was in financial trouble, he was claimed to have said, make sure when you give him this check, he knows that I now own him. So Gavin Williamson, clearly, like I said, there's something going wrong in this man. Like, there's something going wrong with him because this is not normal. It very much seems like he is trying very, very hard to be... He thinks that he is in an episode of House of Cards, but really, everyone just thinks that he's a fucking loser. Am I surprised? No. Because bullying and harassment are incredibly common in politics. I've talked about this a couple of times because that's just how it is. It is very common. And the reason that it is common, right, is because everyone will act like they didn't see anything. Everyone will act like they didn't hear anything. All the way through this whole thing with Gavin Williamson, you've had other government figures saying, oh, we deny. Well, we didn't know about it. Oh, well, we didn't hear about it, when they obviously did. That's probably how he's gotten away with this kind of behaviour, because everybody was willing to look the other fucking way. Christ knows why, but they were. So he then resigns. Gavin Williamson resigns as a minister because I guess he had no choice, although not before a previous video that he himself had made came to light, in which he said, bullying is never acceptable. And then, of course, went on to bully several people because he's a horrid cunt. I mean, what do you say? You know, what do you actually say? Like I said, I think this kind of behaviour continues because the people being abusive are enabled. One of the education ministers, Gillian Keegan, said, it is always sad to lose a colleague. Gavin is denying the characterisation. I'm sorry, but it shouldn't be sad to lose a colleague if they are someone that goes around telling everyone to kill themselves. But okay, sis. All right, babe. Whatever. Gavin Williamson actually spoke out after his resignation and said this: to dispel any speculation, I want to make it clear that I will not be taking any severance. This is taxpayer money, and it should go instead towards the government's priorities, like reducing the NHS waiting list. Oh, well, that's very good of you, Gavin. It's very good of you. Perhaps if you hadn't been such a vile, abusive bastard, there wouldn't even be a discussion about severance pay, perhaps. Just saying. So, Gavin Williamson resigning has not made this whole thing go away. Because there is the question of whether Rishi Sunak knew about these complaints, about the accusations of bullying, before allowing Gavin Williamson to take a position in his government. And it is becoming very clear that he did. And then it gets worse, because of course it does. Of course it does. We now cross over to Dominic Raab, who is also a disgusting, vile fucking bully, apparently. And actually, I want to say on Dominic Raab, I'm going to take a little brief moment to shame somebody that I know. I'm not going to name names because I'm not a bitch, but I will say this. I'm aware that my lovely friend, who I'm about to talk about, may be listening to this. I have a friend who is wonderful and I love him with my whole heart. He's one of my best friends in the whole world. But he has atrocious judgment when it comes to men. You want to know why? He fancies Dominic Raab. Is this your king? Is this your man? Really? Really, baby? I'm sorry. Fucking zero tolerance for fancying Dominic Raab after this. I mean, there was zero tolerance before because, I mean, look at him. But I'm not having it. I'm not having it. I will send you to church to get this demon out of you. I'm not having it. No more, no way. Listen, I think we've all had moments where perhaps we've been like slightly tempted by a Tory, but you never go there. You never actually fucking go there. There's one Tory that I have found attractive and we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that. I repress that shit because that's what all good-hearted people do. And I think I'm kidding, but I don't know. Maybe I'm not. No, but Dominic Raab, though. Really? Dominic Raab? Really? God. Especially because I happen to know that the person I'm talking about fancies another Tory, like a whole other Tory. Who's also dreadful. We're not going to talk about Ross Thompson today. No. So back to Dominic Raab, who's fucking atrocious. So staff at the Ministry of Justice were offered a route out or time off for respite because people were concerned about Dominic Raab's behaviour and the fact that some civil servants may have still been traumatised by his previous time at the Ministry of Justice. If someone is fucking traumatising people at the workplace, put it in jail. Put it in jail. What the fuck? What the actual fuck? What the fuck? Bro, what was he actually fucking doing that people literally were told, he's coming back. If you need to take some time off to prepare, or if you need to be switched to another department, let me know. How is it that it's seen acceptable to have to go to those lengths to protect people rather than just saying, let's perhaps not bring back the guy who's a horrendous fucking bully that traumatized people. Let's perhaps not allow for people to be in an unsafe work environment with somebody that behaves like this to the point that people are traumatized. What the actual fuck is going on? Apparently, there were some civil servants who were in tears during the meeting where they discussed Dominic Raab coming back because they were so afraid of having to work with him again. How the fuck is this happening? How? How is it that he thinks that however he's been behaving is acceptable? How does he think it's normal? And how does he keep getting back into fucking government? What the fuck? Oh my God. To me, it really says something about the current state of the Conservative Party as well as the the state of the government, that this kind of behaviour has obviously been treated as acceptable by various prime ministers, because both of these men, Gavin Williamson and Dominic Raab, have served under multiple prime ministers in the last few years. So obviously those prime ministers have also seen it as acceptable, because they've all brought them in and out of various cabinet positions. So, you know, and I'm sorry, but I don't buy that none of these prime ministers are made aware of this. I don't buy it at all. So there were some civil servants talking about Dominic Raab's behaviour. They said that he was demeaning, that he was very rude and aggressive, and that he wasn't just unprofessional, he was a bully. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Somebody also said, the way he spoke to people was uncomfortable to witness. He was very rude and aggressive. I'm sorry, this is not normal behaviour. You know, it's not even just that it's not appropriate in the workplace. It's not normal to behave like this, period. There is something wrong with both of these men. There is something actually wrong with them. Do you know what I mean? So Dominic Raab was also warned by one of the most senior officials in the Ministry of Justice that he must treat staff with respect. Again, there is something seriously wrong with a person if you have to tell them that. Dominic Raab is a fucking adult. He should not need to be told that he has to treat people with respect. That's just basic common sense. Everybody should know that. Everybody knows that. I'm sure that all of us, you know, whether we're in a professional environment, a casual environment, it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, you know that you have to treat people with respect and be nice. Like, it's just basic social skills. How does he not know this? Except he does know. He just doesn't care. He doesn't think it applies to him. He thinks he gets to go around treating people like shit and doing what he wants. Like I said, there's something wrong with him. That's not normal. That's not normal. There was also a report in The Guardian that the bullying claims against Dominic Raab go back as far as his time as Brexit secretary. So that's way, way back. With a document that outlined a formal expression of concern. So this is obviously a long-standing issue. This is obviously a serious issue. And yet multiple prime ministers have just said, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck it. Why not? Just let him do what he wants. Let him have what he wants. There was a report that Dominic Raab hurled food across a room during a fit of rage. He apparently threw some tomatoes from a Pret salad across a room during a fit of rage while having a fucking tantrum at staff in the Ministry of Justice. This is not normal behaviour. It should not be the case that an adult man cannot have a discussion, even have an argument, without throwing things. That's fucking batshit. That's insane. That is literally unhinged. He cannot have a discussion with somebody. He can't have a conversation without fucking throwing things. What the fuck? What is wrong with him? What is actually wrong with him? And what's worrying to me is you can see a lot of Tories trying to downplay this. this aspect specifically of him literally throwing shit across a room in a fit of rage. They're trying to downplay this? No. Uh-uh. That shit is not normal. That shit is unhinged behavior. And that is coming from somebody that has the trust, that has the approval of the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister looks at a guy like that and says, yeah, fuck it, let's have him in my cabinet. Yep, let's have him in my government. Why not? Oh, I don't know, Rishi. Maybe because he's fucking violent. He's throwing things. He's yelling at people. Gavin is telling people to kill themselves. I don't know. Maybe those are good ideas. Why not? And once again, it calls Rishi Sunak's judgment into question in a massive way. Did he even think about it? You've also got the Suella Braverman thing on top of that. He was like, yeah, fuck it. She can be the Home Secretary again. Why not? It's like he actually wants to lose the next election. It's very bizarre to watch and quite uncomfortable.
Welcome, weary traveler. You seem to have stumbled upon the unearthly library where all your nightmares come true. It's too late to run, so why not stick around and hear a story?
So if you're depressed, the Tories are giving away half-price wine. I have signed up to email updates from all of the parties just because I'm nosy and I like to see what they're up to and how they talk to their membership. And it's quite interesting. But the Tories sent out a very strange email this week. I read it and I was like, wait, what? What is happening? So it just said this. Our award-winning friends at Virgin Wines are delighted to offer party supporters a better than half price saving on 12 world-class wines for the festive season, delivered direct to your door at no extra cost, complete with a free bottle of bubbly. Look, I don't think that the party that was famous for fucking having little Prosecco parties when we were all locked up in our houses during COVID ought to be doing this kind of brand deal. But you know, what do I know? So what do you get? You get 12 delicious wines for just $59.88. Worth up to $11.99 each, now just $4.99 a bottle. A free bottle of beautiful Prosecco worth $12.99. I don't even like wine, so I don't care. A choice of a mixed all red or all white selection. Okay. I mean, shit like this is it's like basically a scam anyway. I used to go out with someone who used to work for a company that would like sell these to people all the time. It's basically a scam. But like, the Tories giving away wine to their supporters is kind of a choice, isn't it? It's a choice. It's a moment where you just think to yourself, really? Okay. Speaking of choices, Kwasi Kwarteng, former Chancellor under Liz Truss, my God, do you remember her brief reign of tyranny? He was speaking to Talk TV this week and he says he urged the former Prime Minister Liz Truss to slow down on economic reform. And apparently Liz Truss said to him, well, I've only got 2 years. And then he replied, you will only have 2 months if you carry on like this. Oh, the blue on blue violence. Oh my God. I mean, frankly, if this was true, why didn't he stand down at the time and say, the reason I'm resigning is because the Prime Minister is economically a maniac? Like, why wouldn't you do that? Why did you just let it happen? Huh? They never have answers for that. They'll always come out and say, oh, well, you know, all this fucked up stuff was happening and I didn't say anything about it at the time, but, you know, I'm saying now. And it's like, okay, great. Right. All right, then. Let's talk about something maybe someone should not have said. Although, do you know what? Do you know what? I don't even know if it's worth, if it's worth saying. I don't know, because, you know what, I'll talk about it anyway. Fuck it, why not? So, we are once again talking about Sheffield Central, which appears to be the most hotly contended and talked about fucking seat in the entire UK. Everybody is fucking talking about it. Okay. And the reason that everyone's talking about it is because Eddie Izzard is standing to be one of the candidates, or to be the candidate for Labour. And so everybody collectively lost their shit or something. So Eddie Izzard gave an interview and they were talking to the New Statesman, and she said this. There are a number of immigrants in the Tory party who hate immigrants. That's a curious thing. In the dictionary, when you look up hypocrisy, surely there is something ringing in their ears. I have something to fucking say about this. Now, I say this as somebody that, you know, I have like a family history of immigration. I myself, I don't think I'm technically, because I was born here. A lot of people don't believe that to be true, but I was, you know, but I have a family history, you know, direct parental history of immigration. So, you know, from what Eddie Izzard is saying, I should 100% be in support of, you know, of immigration and things like that. Now, by coincidence, I am, but it has nothing to do with my father's family being immigrants, and everything to do with just that's how I feel based on my own opinions and what I see and the things that I believe and what I have come to learn as a human being. It's not something that's hardwired into me, and I also have no obligation to that belief. It's something I believe in, but I'm not obliged to. I don't owe it to anyone either. Like, I wouldn't be hypocritical. I wouldn't. I wouldn't be hypocritical if I were to say, actually, I don't support immigration. You know, just because my dad's family were immigrants, that doesn't mean that I have to support anything. Here's the thing. When she says this, it's very obvious what she means. She's talking about people like Suella Braverman, like Priti Patel. She would not say this to a white politician or about a white politician with a history of immigration in their family. Because nobody expects for white people to do that. There is no expectation on them. But it's one of those things, when you're a minority, there is just a ton of expectation on you to align with certain values. And if you don't, you are massively shamed for that. You know, there are some people who will attack, you know, Black Tories, for example. I mean, Kwasi Kwarteng
Do I like him? No. Do I agree with him? No. But him being a conservative, that's his business. And I don't have a right to tell him, hey, you're ethnic, you better come on over here to the left with the rest of us, bitch. I don't have a right to tell him that, because he has a right to believe in whatever he wants. And nobody has a right to tell him he has to think a certain way or believe a certain thing because of the color of his skin. You know, you get the same with LGBT people who are Tories or whatever. Every fucking pride, and it's such an embarrassing, gross thing that LGBT Tories get booed, and I fucking hate it, because it's like, guys, will you shut the fuck up? They are still part of our community. You don't get to shame them because they think differently to you. Especially, and a lot of people's excuses, oh, well, the Tories are really shit to us. Yeah, I know. But who are the ones trying to fucking hold them back? Who are the ones actually fighting for our community within that party? Oh, is it the LGBT Tories? Oh, should we maybe not be cunts to them then? Oh, okay. Oh, we're not going to do that? Right, great, fabulous. You know... And again, there's an expectation that because you're LGBT, you have to be left-wing. You have to be, you know, in support of all these different things. And it's like, well, what if someone isn't? What if they're not? What is so wrong with that? What is so bad about that? But again, nobody says to straight people that they have to think a certain way because of being straight. And nobody says to... white people that they have to think a certain way because they're white or whatever. Like, no, nobody says that to them, but minorities have all these expectations thrown on them about what they're supposed to think, what they're supposed to say, what they're supposed to do. You can disagree with somebody who, for example, is, you know, you can disagree with a gay Tory, you can disagree with a trans Tory, you can disagree with you know, a Tory whose parents were immigrants, or even a Tory that's an immigrant themselves, whatever. You can disagree with them, and you can have an argument with them, and you can say, well, actually, I think you're wrong on this, and I disagree on this, and yada, yada, yada. But you can't tell them, you should think differently. You can't fucking say that. And if you're saying that somebody having, you know, parents that are immigrants or being an immigrant themselves means that they have to think a certain way politically, I'm just going to fucking say it. That's kind of xenophobic, dude. That's kind of racist, babe. No way. And I see this shit all the time. And firstly, it grosses me out. Secondly, it hands a massive win. It hands a massive win to whoever you're arguing against, because they can turn around and they can say, oh, look, they don't think you're capable of thinking for yourself. They won't let you think what you want. Ooh, aren't they evil? Aren't they intolerant? And Eddie Izzard has fallen into this trap. She's just fucking somersaulted into it. For no reason. Who even asked? God. Mm-mm. That's not a plan, Stan. That's not a gender, Brenda. Jesus, woman. Anyways, all of this yelling about Eddie Izzard, by the way, may have been for fucking nothing, because it's very possible she's not actually going to make the shortlist. She only has one nomination, so she's probably not actually going to be on the shortlist. So she's probably not going to be the candidate. So everyone was mad for no reason. Great job, everybody. Great job. So, you know, weeks have been wasted shouting about this one person and ignoring all the other candidates, which is a massive shame. But I guess we'll see how it shakes out. I guess we'll see who will be the candidate. But I got the feeling it's probably not going to be her. God, how depressing. How depressing. So, Jeremy Hunt, the Chancellor, girl, he has announced taxes are going up for everybody, but also public spending needs to go down for everybody.
So we're basically going to be paying tax and getting less back. Right, okay. So we're going head first back into austerity. That's it. That he can dress it up how he likes, but that's what's happening. That is what's happening. So again, we are asked to give up, make sacrifices. Again, we were supposed to, austerity has supposed to have been over like several times at this point. I don't see it happening like ever, but you know. So he has said, Jeremy Hunt has said that the richest will make larger sacrifices, but I don't believe that for a second. You're going to have to show me because I don't believe you. But he says he will be asking everyone for sacrifices. Bitch, I have sacrificed enough and everybody I know has too. What more do you want to take from me? I've got nothing left. I'm out here like Ian Beale, bitch. What do you want? What do you fucking want? Maybe if you had been taxing rich people properly this whole time, you wouldn't have to keep coming to me. You could have just gone to them correct the first time and you wouldn't keep having to come back to me. You wouldn't. I don't need to be the fucking chancellor to be able to tell you that. It's just common sense. It's just common sense. He says, if you want to give people confidence about the future, you have to be honest about the present. Nothing you say could make me confident about the future. Absolutely nothing. I just... because I'm not dumb, I'm not naive. He was also... he was also speaking about Brexit. He said, Brexit will be a tremendous success if we embrace the opportunities of a different sort of economy. Oh my God. Shut up. Shut up. Go. He was then shown evidence that the UK economy is alone in shrinking post-COVID, and he said that he doesn't accept the premise that Brexit will make us poorer. Well, just because you don't accept it, that doesn't mean it's true. You're a moron. Oh my God. Okay, besties, that's all for this week, but I'll catch you again next week. Love you, bye. Thanks for listening, bestie. I hope you enjoyed the show and I will see you again next time for a new episode of What the Actual Fuck Is Going On With This Whole Politics Business.
And the stuff about me paddleboarding, nonsense, the sea was actually closed. It was a red notice.
You just can't call it.
We will not be caught with no clothes on.
I've always been a completely normal UK taxpayer.
Russia should go away, it should shut up.
That's a dodgy view.
And if you've been to Peppa Pig World, who's been to Panzai, anyone who's been to Peppa Pig World?
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets.
I mean, seriously, what the actual